Yeah, so yes, so good morning to everybody, and can we just pray and let's get excited about what God's going to do this morning. Yeah, do you want to stand? That's a good thing, because it kind of says I'm in business somewhere. Maybe just let's hold our hands out. We just thank you, Jesus, that you are in the business of just walking in the place and moving amongst us and doing something glorious with us. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would do that today. I thank you that you restore us and renew us, and you call us and commission us, and you speak great things over our lives. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come in this place. We invite you. We invite you to have your way. We invite you to fill us. We invite you to speak to us. We invite you to speak truth to our hearts. And we just thank you for the importance of Scripture. Thank you, as we hold it so importantly in this church, that you come, lovely Holy Spirit, helping us to find the intention of man's heart to change us. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do that today in your precious, precious name. Amen. So I'm going to speak. So if you want to turn to John 21, and you could say it was all about Janet Clark. So, isn't it always? So Janet Clark started saying, the lovely Janet, started saying something about Jesus sitting around this fire with the disciples, when obviously the scene is this. So I'll just paint the scene. Is that Jesus has died, is resurrected, he's revealed himself several times to his disciples, and here he comes again to the beach. And so I'll read from John 21, I'd say from, yes, I'll just read it all. So after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, and they said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out of the land, they saw the charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore full of a large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread, and he gave it to them. And so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So I'm just going to do a little bit of a break, because I started reading this and God started really speaking lots of things to me. Janet instigated something in me, in the spirit, and I went and sought God, and just God started showing me many things. And he just started showing me about Peter's life. And I don't know if you understand, but when you read the Bible, I've said this many times, you read the Bible, but it's also reading you. And when you read about Peter, when I read about Peter, I'm not only reading about Peter, but also I'm seeing myself in him. So I think this is what the disciples display. They display something of really who we are in our characters and our natures sometimes. And they got it wrong so many times, but they got it right so many times as well. And it is helpful to read them because they help us to keep going. They help us to keep pressing in. And there's a really big picture that I believe that God wants to impart to us today about the church, about where we are in the church, about what God has called over our lives, and to stay in this connection with God. And so we have to go back. So just let's go back to Mark 14, if that's okay. And we've got to go back to the story. We've got to go back to the story, which is, it'll help you paint the picture of Peter. So it said that Jesus had lit this fire, and he'd lit this fire by the seashore, and the disciples had come over it, and he'd broke the bread and he'd put some fish out. And I think it was a representation. God was trying to take Peter back to something, and this is what happened to Peter in Mark 14. So you get the Lord's Supper, and then in Mark 14 verse 26, when they'd broke bread, and Jesus had broken the bread, and what they did is, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, so he was telling them something that was going to happen to them. And we read before, earlier in scripture, where Peter keeps stepping in. This was something of his nature. Step in before God, really, to tell God what is happening. And I just want you to absorb that a minute, because we think that we don't do that, but actually we do that so many times. God says something to us, and then we think that we can do something very differently. And God doesn't want it that way. We have to sometimes learn the hard way. And for Peter, he learned the hard way. And so this is what he tells them. He says, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And so Peter said to him, it's so funny, even though they all fall away, I will not. So he was like saying, even if all these other disciples whom have followed you and who've loved you, even if they all fall away, I'm not going to do it. So Jesus says, you are going to do it. And Peter tells him, no, I'm not. So already there, this kind of stepping in front of what Jesus was saying and not listening carefully in the spirit is something that we're all guilty of sometimes. We all do it. And so it was helpful to read about him. And even it says, and Jesus said to them, Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he emphatically said, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. So they were all actually saying, we don't want to do this. And I think in their hearts were actually in a really, really good place. The hearts were full of love for God. But sometimes it's a very different picture when things come to face us, how our reactions come. And so this is what happened to Peter. So then you have to go to the turnover to 66. And it says of the same chapter of Mark 14, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, he was warming himself by the fire. And obviously, I believe Jesus has created this scene because he was going to do something very glorious with Peter. He was going to renew him and restore him. And so he sets the scene, does Jesus, in John 21. Of the same, he was warming himself, and said, and this is a girl said, you were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither knew nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the cock crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and said to the bystander, this bystanders, this man is one of them. But again he denied it. And after a little while the bystanders said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself. So he became really adamant and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the cock crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. And I was just thinking about Peter, like we'd like to think, well, Jesus said it, and there you did it, and you kept repeatedly doing it, you did it three times like you said he told you he was going to do. But there was just something in this. I was just contemplating it, and I was thinking, when fear comes, because in that moment, a fear rose that he was going to get arrested. And a fear rose that he could have been flogged and beaten. A fear rose that he could have been maybe put to death. A fear rose in him. And so it was really high. And he didn't really have time to, you know, when I explained, I said about taking every thought captive and bring it into obedience with Christ Jesus. I felt in that moment when I read that, that Peter didn't even have chance to think, I want to take that thought captive. The fear just overwhelmed him, and he just rolled in it, because the fear was massive in him. And when he knew what he'd done, he just wept and he was broken, because at that moment, what he'd caused was a disconnection. Where he was connected with Jesus, where he was close with him, he was one of the best friends, Peter, James and John, that went everywhere with Jesus. Jesus had this close friendship with these three disciples. And at that moment, he must have felt great pain that he'd let Jesus down. Jesus had told him what he was going to do. He said he wasn't going to do it, yet he did it. And at that moment, just the fear overwhelmed him. And so let's go back to John 21. And so there was lots of things that I just felt that God just started showing me about Peter. So, like, if you remember about Peter, Jesus had said to him, when he first called him, he said to Peter, James and John, they were fishermen. And he said, leave your nets and come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So he kind of called something over his life. And in a minute, in a moment of disconnection, this is what happens with us. We go back to what is familiar to us. So what did Peter do? He'd been called from not being a fisherman, but what did he do? He went back to fishing. So we revert back to something that's familiar to us. And I believe that we all do this in our disconnection. Sometimes, because of life, because of fears, because of pain, because of anger, some things come to us and we get angry inside. We sometimes become jealous. We sometimes become envious. We've sometimes just got all this kind of bitterness that's kind of stuck in there. We've sometimes got grief. We've sometimes just got a pain that is, or difficult situations that are too hard to cope with. And instead of going and falling on the knees and at Jesus' feet and giving it all to Jesus, we do this thing. And I think as women, we try to cope with something ourselves. We try to cope with emotions ourselves. We try to deal with things that are going on. We're problem solvers. We like to solve a problem. It's in us as women to do that. And so we then step in front of God. And when we step in front of God, we kind of know that then there's this disconnection. And we're thinking, God, how am I going to get back? How am I going to get back to being in this place where I feel so connected with you? But then Jesus steps in. And if you understand the scene, Jesus steps in. And so what happened was, when he was out fishing, Peter must have stripped himself down to probably his undergarments to do the fishing, because I think it was quite a heavy task. They'd put the nets out and then they would have had to bring, you know, keep pulling them in. And obviously there was nothing to pull in at the time. But he'd like kind of stripped himself down. And when John, and I don't believe there's, this is so beautiful when he says this, the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is written by John, and he's describing himself. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wasn't being bigger-headed. He was saying, I've got this intimacy that is so close and so near. And the first of all, none of the disciples recognised it with Jesus, but he recognised it was the Lord. There's something in that that we have to really be aware that when Jesus steps into the room, there are moments when we can absolutely sense that Jesus is there. And I don't know if you've had moments like that at home and moments like that, because I know that I've had many moments when I can feel tangibly the presence of God, and that I know that Jesus has stepped in the room with me somewhere, sometimes to heal me, sometimes just to sing and rejoice over me like he does with his love. There's been many times that he's just stepped in the room, sometimes to lay his hands on me for equipping, and he's just done something glorious. And when Jesus, and we recognise, and we've got to have eyes to see, and we've got to like set these atmospheres for those things to happen. We've got to keep our spiritual eyes open, girls. Don't get distracted. Don't look out at what's going on, and then you can't see Jesus somewhere. Jesus is before us all the time. Jesus is in the fine detail of your life. Everything that you do, everything that you're saying, he knows all those things, and he's watching us. And I spoke about this when I spoke about this Psalm 139. Before we even speak a word, Jesus knows what we're going to say. Our going out and our coming in is with us everywhere we go. He's just following us. His eyes are roaming to and fro on the earth. And how do you think that God sees everybody? But he does. And he sees us, and he's interested in us, and we really need to hone in on that. But what Peter did was so glorious. It said he dived in. And then one day when I was just praying a couple of days ago, I was like kind of really excited about this, because if you think of Peter, who was in the boat, John says, that is the Lord. And his first reaction was to dive in the water to get to the shore, because he wanted to get connected back with Jesus, the Jesus he loved so much. So he threw himself into the sea and swam to the shore. And I just thought, how urgent are we to throw ourselves down before God, to get with him, to go connect with him? How urgent are we in our daily lives? Is it something that we are urgent about? Is it something that we're passionate about? Or is it something we get so complacent about being in the presence of God? It's like sometimes, it's like we can take it or leave it. Well, God doesn't want us to be in that place. We can't take or leave the God of heaven. When you just ponder on what he's done in giving his son Jesus for us, when you ponder on the cross, you can't just take it or leave it. You've got to get down on your knees and recognise that's Jesus and want to throw yourself down at him somewhere. But when I was walking, Jesus just showed me something about Peter, and this is what Jesus was trying to get to the heart of. While he was in the boat, he says this. He said, and when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he was stripped to work, for work, and threw himself into the sea. Now, isn't that a peculiar thing? That he actually put on his outer garments. Like he just didn't stay in his naked state. And I felt that God was saying to me, these are the clothes of respect, the garments of respectability. So we always want to look respectable. We always want to appear all together. We always want to appear to others as to be all together. We always want to kind of look like, we're okay. You know when people say, how are you? I think we've learned in this church, and we're definitely learning, that if we're not okay, it's absolutely okay to say we're not okay. If you're not in a good place with God, it's okay to say you're not in a good place of God, because there is no judgment in this house of God. Because we all have good times, and we all have bad times, and we all have difficult situations. And sometimes we go through periods of life where there's nothing happening except we're just able to praise God. But there's times when some people have one issue after another, after another, after another. And we need to be able to help those people. So this thing of putting the garments of respectability is not helpful for anybody, because it doesn't reveal the real who is you. Well, it's not revealing who is you, because really, to me, if he just jumped in just as he was in his undergarments, I think Jesus would have far loved that better, because there's something about being stripped naked before God, about just coming just with your all, just of where you are. So it's like God saying, it's okay to come like that. So it was just something that God just really kind of spoke to me about. And it set this scene and of the charcoal fire in place. And I believe that Jesus was trying to do this thing. He was pressing in on Peter and taking Peter back. When we've got something wrong, we're kind of quite quick to do this thing, because we've learnt it, and we've learnt it well, to get on our knees and to tell God we're sorry, and to tell God that we want to turn around and we want to be different. But when I was reading this, and I'll read you this next account in a moment, I just felt God's voice to me, and I felt that he showed me that this thing that Jesus was pressing in on Peter. And he was taking Peter back for a reason. Sometimes we're just quick to say our sorries, but not really to understand why our behaviour has been the way it has. And not to ask the questions, why God? I'm coming to say I'm sorry, God, but why have I reacted like that? Why have I got this pain that I keep hanging on to? Why have I got this grief that's still there in my soul from years and years? And when I've given it over, or I've felt I've given it over to you, why does it keep coming back? There's just like many incidents. Why, God, is this anger still raging in me? Why have I got these memories that I've given over that I've still kind of keep recalling? It's like we don't ask the question why our behaviour is like it is sometimes, but Jesus was pressing in on Peter. He was taking him right back to the fire to say something to him. So just let's read it. So when they had finished breakfast, this is in verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? So can you understand what he was saying? So he said in Mark that he... I'll just read it so I'll get it exactly right. So Mark 14. I have to quote it correctly because I don't want to quote it wrong. Jesus said, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And... But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter said, even though they all fall away, I will not. And so can you see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, do you love me more than these? Because he was taking him back, really, to his kind of a bit of his prideful place. These might do it, but I'm not going to, because this is who I am. I love you, God, more than these. And so this is why Jesus was asking the question, do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, so not only just once, he was taking him back to the scene of where he had betrayed him three times. And he said to him this second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And somewhere where he'd wept and he's cried, Peter was grieved. And he said to him, and the third time, when he'd said, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly I say to you that when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk, and wherever you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And I'm sure it was of Peter. Was he crucified upside down? And so you go from this place where there was this fear rising, and he denies Jesus, to this point that Jesus brings him right back. He presses in on him, because what he wanted to do with Peter at that moment, he wanted to renew him, he wanted to heal him, he wanted to restore him, but he wanted to commission him. And this is the big thing that we have to get understanding. We want God's healing in our lives. We want God's renewing in our lives, because he is commissioning in us, and he's got a bigger picture for us all. And if you just read back to Acts 2, which is absolutely, you know, the Holy Spirit descends, and how we need the Holy Spirit in these times. And so many churches are preaching some crazy things about the Holy Spirit, that you get the Holy Spirit once when you're saved, and then you don't have to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Well, absolutely, I do not believe that is correct. I do not believe Scripture tells us of that. And I do believe that we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came and descended at Pentecost, how Peter's whole attitude and who he was, if you read this preaching that he started to do in Acts 2, verse 14, and Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk," because they were saying, "Oh, they're all drunk, they're speaking in tongues, they're speaking in different language," and they were saying that they were all drunk. "For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And here he goes. He starts with all this confidence. "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall receive visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And even on your male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and on the signs of the earth below." And he goes on to preach this gospel message, and people start saying, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And he starts to tell them that they need to repent and be baptized and be full of full of the Holy Spirit. And when they received the word, they were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Look what happened to a man. I just want to tell you, look what happened to a man that was on a journey, like us all, with Jesus. He was on a journey. He got some things right. He got some things wrong. And Jesus, at this moment, how he got hold of him, he restored him, and he renewed him, and he commissioned him. And when the Holy Spirit descended, let me tell you, it was a powerhouse. But if we don't let God take us back to those places and press in on us and heal us from some of those things, we won't move forward. We'll stay where we are. And we don't want to stay where we are, because we've got something important to tell people. We've got to go feed the sheep. We've got to go tell people about Jesus. When was the last time you even opened your mouth to tell somebody about Jesus? When was the last time you did it? When was the last time you felt the real presence and the power of the Holy Spirit over your life? When was the last time you got down in your prayer time and said, "Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit today"? Every day we need to say, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit." He dwells in us, but we need igniting. We need to be on fire. And, you know, I've just prayed some things, even in the services, that some things change, that the power of the Holy Spirit comes in these services to really do something radical in our hearts, that we absolutely tangibly feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this virus has made everybody kind of going on to themselves and stop looking at the bigger picture that's happening. There is revival that's going to come, if only you would see it with your eyes. There's the many that are lost, there's the many that are full of fear, and if we as a church are full of fear, we're not going to lead them to anybody. We're not going to lead them to Jesus. We're not going to lead them to hope. We're going to lead them, we're going to have nothing to say. And so we need God to press in on us. And if you have fears, or if you've got pains, or if you've got griefs, or if you're going through difficult circumstances where they overwhelm you, you need to let Jesus press on into you. You need to let the Holy Spirit come and press into your heart today to heal you and renew you and restore you. Because that's the only way we're ever going to move forward as a church, guys, is that God does something first in our hearts that we look radically, radically different from who we are. And so somewhere I just feel this talk is so much bigger. I know that I find it sometimes hard to explain scripture because I'm not a teacher. That's not my gift. And so sometimes it's hard for me to get everything out what I want to say. But this is what I want to say. Get into the big picture. Get into the big picture that Jesus is doing and showing that there is a world that is desperate in need of him. And if you are not connected with the God of heaven, people see that in us. If you don't know that, people see that you're not genuine. And you know, fear, you can smell fear. So if people are fearful, you can smell it. It's like a stench, it's horrible. Dave said he went somewhere, or he went to Howden, to the kitchen, and he said, the women in there were so different. He said, they're just the behaviour. I know Teresa's been to the hairdressers. The lady in there, just abrupt. What is going on with people's rudeness? It makes people abrupt. Fear and anxiety makes people rude and abrupt. And then they can't connect with Jesus. Well, people who are Christians there's you're like kind of you can feel it in the atmosphere out there, but for us who are Christians, like, this connection is so very, very important. I can't tell you, because we're going to just go walk into places and people are going to see that there's something very, very different going on in our hearts, very, very different about us. So I just really want to press in, and that's really all I want to say, is that we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, that we need to look different, for when the people that we're going to meet, that we're going to speak to, that we're going to come into conversations with, that we're going to speak something very different to what the world is speaking, and we are going to speak something different, but if you've got fear, they will smell it on you and you will look no different to them, absolutely no different to them. And so let's, ladies, be those people this morning, and let's have a time when we just ask God in these moments just to renew us and to restore us, to commission us again, to come and speak those things into our hearts again of gifting and anointing. And let's be ladies today. I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit for us. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit falls upon us. I'm going to pray that this is a holy moment where God comes and speaks to your heart. I'm going to pray that this is a moment where God comes to do some healing if you need healing. Because God wants us to get rid of all those things that would hinder us from pressing forward and pressing in this race that we're meant to be done. And we need to lay those things down that are things of the past to move forward. Because if we keep looking over our shoulder all the time, looking what was all the time, we're never going to move forward. And God won't be able to do the enormity, what he needs to do in us. And so I'm just going to pray.